been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome everybody to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. It is officially week one of the preseason. We are so close to Ravens football, we can taste it. It's just mere days away. Depending on when you're listening to this, it might just be a mere hours away. I don't know about you, but I got my brand new Torrey Smith jersey. I got it pressed. I got it dry cleaned. I got it ready for this upcoming season. But it just wouldn't be The Call without my buddy Josh joining me. What's going on, man?
That's right, yeah. We got to do a double duty, man. Wingman's for life. Get through a show solo, right?
Exactly, that's right. So here we go, man. We got preseason coming up. It is going to be this Thursday, and it is going to be the Ravens up against the 49ers. A little preview.
Are we doing Super Bowl 47 again?
That's what I'm thinking. It's the Harbaugh 2. This is like Rocky 2. It's Rocky and Apollo again this time around. So here we go, week one. Of course, this is the preseason, so really this is a way to just kind of finalize a few positions. It's a way for new guys to make a name for themselves. Who's really going to be the guy that you're going to be watching on the field this upcoming game?
I'm going to be watching our first-round draft pick, C.J. Mosley, on the defense. I really like what he has to bring on the defensive side. I think he's going to start. That's my first person opinion from what I've seen in training camp, what I've seen in practices thus far. What I've heard is leadership. I think he's going to bring a lot to our defense, a fresh infusion of usefulness. And on the offensive side, I'm ready to see our newest addition in Steve Smith. I really can't wait to see what he can bring. He's been scrappy in the practices. I've seen him snag a couple balls here or there. It's just going to look out great for us, and I really can't wait to see how that shapes up. And overall, you know, a healthy Pitta is going to look good too. But I want to hone on C.J. Mosley, one, and Steve Smith, two. I can't really see what these guys do, man.
Yeah, well, offensively, I mean, Steve Smith is definitely going to be a guy you want to see. Where these guys are not going to be going full throttle this week, of course. We all know that. But I want to see what Steve Smith, how he interacts with Joe Flacco. I want to see their communication. I want to see, I mean, they look great in training camp. And training camp's, you know, all fine and well. But once you're on the field, I mean, that's a whole different dynamic. Is he going to get in Joe Flacco's face if Joe Flacco, you know, throws too high, so he can't catch it? Or is he going to improvise and you know, work towards Joe's style? Really, Steve Smith and Joe Flacco could be a dynamic duo. And we already know that Joe's got his favorite targets out there. We have a healthy Dennis Pitta, and that was a huge loss last year in training camp. So I mean, he's had off season to kind of recoup. He came back last year after his injury, and of course, him and Joe kind of like went right back into where they were. But this guy, he's had a few games last year. He's trained on the off season. He's expected to have a great season this year. So I want to see what Joe does with Pitta. I want to see what he does with Steve Smith, and the guys, you know, like Jacoby and Marlon Brown and Torrey Smith. I'm expecting them to have great years. The receiving end of the offense, I mean, this looks like something that could really be scary. It could be something that could have a huge impact on the NFL this year.
I think so too, man. And just the offense in general, you know, with Jacoby coming back, Torrey Smith could be into his own, right to his prime. And the running game, don't overlook that with the Ray Rice suspension for the first two games. What's going to happen? Bernard Pierce going to step up? Is Justin Forsett going to do good? We have to look at these guys really closely in the preseason because they're going to fill the roles for the first two big games at home against the Bengals and against the Steelers. If we can come out of those games, like I said before, and Ray Rice is healthy going into that week, you know, 10-day rest in Cleveland, that's where the focus is going to be. And with Kubiak's offense, it's a run-first offense, pass second. And I know the Ravens always usually buck the trend with the NFL. Oh, it's a pass-heavy league, and we always want to go running. And the Ravens have always been known that since day one. They've always had that hard-nosed running offense where it's pound the football, you know, throw it it short, throw the football first down. They're never with these flashy long bombs. And it's really going to be interesting to see what kind of offense Kubiak opens up. We're not going to see preseason, Brandon, but when we look at his how open is it going to be? Is it going to be a wide open, let Joe Flacco go, or is it going to be Kubiak's got a system and the offense is going to follow the system and it's going to work out well? That's what I really want to see. And then on the defensive side, discipline. The guys got to be disciplined. You know, with the holding penalties downfield, with the hard hit, I know it's going to be hard with the NFL and letting up and knowing when to hit, when not. But just hopefully we can keep down the flags and stay there, especially on third and long. How many times, Brandon, especially in the last couple of years, it'd be third and 9, third and 10, third and 11, and we get a stop, and then, oh, wait, there's a flag, and it ends up being a holding penalty, pass interference, offsides, unnecessary roughness, hit to the head. It's just always these stupid penalties at the wrong time. Not that we want the penalties at the right time. We don't want any. But it's always happened to where, oh, we stopped them, would have been a game changer, and then the drive's alive, and then they score a touchdown or a field goal. It's just a momentum change. And we can't blame it on those calls, but at that crucial time, it's just a crucial part of the game where it just we look at that because that part of the play changes everything. And this is what I'm interested to see coming out on both sides.
Yeah, you know, that's you definitely want to see the defense be disciplined. You want to see what last year we were not very happy with the defense, and it seemed like the defense was ready to transform. But let's real quick, there's three names I want to bring up here. One guy you're not going to see in the preseason game is Lardarius Webb because he has a back injury, and that's been really affecting his training camp so far. So they've already said that he's going to miss the first two preseason games.
But he's going to take it, dude. He's got to play. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, right.
he's on the ticket. He's got to play.
Yeah, exactly. So Lardarius Webb could miss the first two preseason games. You know, he's had he's had bad luck in the past. I mean, during the Super Bowl year, he was out, what was it, week three or four, the same week as the Ray Lewis injury. I mean, he was out for the rest of the season because of a knee injury. So hopefully this guy can stay healthy. He's a huge asset to the Ravens. But if he is out for a game or a few games, we got to talk about who's going to step up in his place. And maybe not in his place, but two names that have come up a lot that they've been on the Ravens for a while, but they don't see a lot of play is Asa Jackson and Shockey Brown. Asa Jackson, of course, he didn't play a lot last year because he got suspended for half the season because of a certain medicine he was using that wasn't allowed, and he got caught using it. But I mean, he keeps coming back because that's his second time getting caught with that same drug. So the Ravens obviously see something in this guy. They continue to bring him back, and they're definitely putting a focus on him, a big spotlight on him, at least through training camp, because him and Shockey Brown, they're pretty well-known names in the Ravens, you know, in the Ravens team, but we don't see a lot of them on the field a lot. This year, it seems like both of these guys, maybe one of these guys, could have a breakout year, and I really want to see how these guys work in preseason. Asa Jackson, he's also talked about being a punt returner. So, I mean, the guy's got some wheels on him. So, do you think one of these guys, at least in this first preseason game, do you see one of these guys, you know, breaking out in front of the other, or do you think it's kind of going to be like a dead heat all the way to the end to see who's going to be the one to make it?
I think Shockey Brown might get the slight edge. I just like what I've seen out of the guy. Asa Jackson, if he would just get his stuff under control, he could be good. I'm not going to go sing his praises just yet because, I've seen flashes, but I've yet to see him. But, I mean, I've seen Shockey Brown, and then with the whole, you know, discipline thing, you know, I know throwing punches is out of context perhaps, but I know he's got discipline for, you know, his character and practices with, but it translates to, you know, these guys are ready to hit. These guys, it's a hitting man's game, and they're hitting on each other's players. I want them to see do good on the other, you know, opposing beat or offenses, I should say. But I just think the Shockey Brown's going to bring a lot more attitude. But unless I see more from Asa, I'm just going to have to say Brown gets the edge, in my opinion, from what I've seen thus far.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Shockey Brown. I like him a lot. Asa Jackson, I think he does have definite skills. I think he might be playing a little bit more on special teams more than anything. But I like Shockey Brown. I think he's got a little bit of fire in him. And I believe he was the player this past week that he got really frustrated. And I think he threw his helmet or he spiked a ball or whatever. And Harbaugh made him leave. He made him leave training camp and go sit inside in the locker room for a couple minutes and come back out. And Harbaugh was pretty much like, hey, this is what's going to happen in a game if you do that. You're going to be out for a while, and you're going to cost us yards. So he made him leave and then come back. So hopefully this guy, he's got a lot of passion. He's got a lot of fire in his belly. Hopefully he can harness that the correct way. Hopefully he can become a huge asset to this defense and quite possibly be playing almost every game this season.
Right. I mean, what it does is it comes down to discipline. I like Harbaugh, what he's doing with that, and sending players and saying, hey, we're not going to stand for this. But it basically, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Harbaugh to take that leadership role, and enough is enough. We have to do what we have to do, and I'm really excited to see how that discipline translates into, you know, the gameplay. You know, will these guys be disciplined enough to not have these stupid penalties at the wrong times like we talked about before? And in translating, the whole mantra, play like a Raven, like this year. Playing like Ravens don't mean playing out of control. It's playing within yourself, playing within your talent, within your means, and using it to your advantage. So we'll see how that comes out, but actually, I applaud Harbaugh for doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So real quick, tell us about, I know you went to one of the public practices this past week. What was it like being at M&T Bank Stadium again, and what was it like seeing the fact that Ray Lewis was there?
Brother, you have no clue how surprised we all were. I mean, I couldn't wait to do the show to talk about that. I mean, first off, before we get to that, because I could talk the whole show about just that in general, but the practice was great, but just to get on Ray Lewis to start it off, it was kind of funny because I was sitting across the field. I didn't sit on the side where I actually picked section 152, so obviously in honor of Ray. I did not sit on the other side where the tunnel was, so we saw a golf cart come out, and I seen a crowd like applauding, standing up, but then I seen people going crazy, like how Larry Lewis gets the fans crazy. Like, I've seen people dancing, I've seen people, you know, running down, like, and I could see the reaction. I'm thinking, well, I know Bashotti's driving a cart. It can't be Ozzy. Who's down there? And I'm thinking, had to be some high-ranking Raven or ex-Raven or official or somebody down there. Like, it would have been Ogden, I don't know who it was, or Reed, but I didn't hear any Reed, and I could barely hear, so it was funny because my friends were like, that can't be who it is. And then when they showed him on the Jumbotron, the place exploded, Brandon. And I was like, beside myself, I had chills, I was getting fired up, and then I saluted our late great general, and then when they interviewed him, obviously, Fetch is not there, but they interviewed him about the statue, it was great. He said it was a humbling thing to know that he's getting a statue in honor. He said he bleeds for Baltimore, he always will. It was great to hear that. He'll be here, and like I said, you know, for the unveiling, I can't wait to see it this year. I'm stoked already, but what a treat it was to have Ray Lewis, Steve Smith come up to him, Harbaugh came up to him. It was pretty funny, and a funny moment of the evening was, it kind of wasn't funny for the offense, but Joe Flacco's first pass was tipped and picked off by Matt Elam, and it ran down, and Elam started heading toward the cart, and where Ray Lewis and Bashotti were sitting in because they were on the field, so it was kind of a funny little thing that happened, so they had to move out of the way, but it was a great practice. I've seen Steve Smith catch a great sideline pass. Torrey Smith caught one over the middle. It was a one-handed grab. They looked good, man. I tell you what, Talaferro, he impressed me. They did a goal line drill in front of us on our end. The dude scored, like, I think 6 touchdowns at least. Like, he was hard running. Lorenzo Talaferro, our draft pick, I think he's going to work out well for us. So look out for that guy. That's going to be a name to pick out in preseason and in camps to come, is look out for that guy. I'm going to put Talaferro out.
Very cool, man. Sounds like a good time. There was another one in Annapolis. I didn't get to go to any this year, and it really sucks that one got canceled for Friday night, because it was supposed to be a dual training camp with the Ravens and the 49ers, and unfortunately, it's not happening. I believe because the 49ers already have practiced too much in training camp. So,
and here's what I want to talk about, Brandon. I'm glad you brought that up. And for this reason, I don't know if any of y'all saw my tweets, but I did some digging. And a shout out to Nestor Aparicio from our friends at WS. It was pretty cool to see his input, because I even asked him about the CBA and why they canceled the practice. And he even joked and said that the Harbaughs are intense. They would have these guys practice all weekend, 12-hour days if they could. He just said simply can't overwork. But I've been listening to the rumblings this week, And it so happens, I remember how we had the whole Orioles-Ravens mix-up last year because the Ravens won the Super Bowl the following before, a year before, and we were supposed to open at home, right? Remember the whole Denver thing and we got snubbed?
Right.
Well, it just so happens that the Orioles' 60th anniversary celebration is Friday night. They're having all their former Hall of Famers out. They're playing the St. Louis Cardinals, and it's a Friday night. They're having a fireworks laser show. Past and present O's are going to be there. So I understand it's a CBA work, but are we going to say conspiracy theory thinking that it can't be another Ravens-Orioles argument, you think? Could we? Could it be? I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's interesting. I mean, it's funny that it's happening like that again. I don't know.
Obviously, we haven't heard anything in the media about it, but I thought that was an interesting point. Some of the people I knew were bringing that up, and I've heard it thrown around on some media sources around Baltimore, but I don't know. I mean, hey, I applaud these guys. Don't overwork them. It sucks for us because I even texted you. I said, you know, the Patriots and Redskins can hold a joint practice, but they held theirs at the beginning of the week. You know, ours was at the end, and we're playing a preseason game the night before. So I think it was just a little bit too much, and they tried to make it, you know, an event because, okay, they're already in town to play the game. Why don't we just have them practice the next day? I think if it was a Wednesday practice and then play it, but I think it would just been too much for the guys because they're already playing each other. What more do you want to practice each other playing a real game simulated? So I think, I mean, again, it sucks for the fans to be involved. I'm not really too upset about it because, I mean, they're playing each other on Thursday night. I'll be there live, so I get to see them play. So, and they're playing in a real simulated game again, Brandon, so I'm not really too torn up about it. But, again, you know, the new CBA rules, you got to limit these guys' practice, and they could turn out great for us because the guys could be fresher. You know, they still need to practice, but we need to keep these guys healthy and not trying to tweak ankles and knees and muscles and shoulders all on the sake of putting on a spectacle on a scrimmage. We need to get these guys game ready for September 7th.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we were talking beforehand, but before we wrap everything up tonight, you said you wanted to bring up a little bit about what's going on in the NFL right now and a certain quarterback, Mr. Andy Dalton, getting a new deal. So what do you want to say about the whole situation there?
Oh, man. Like I said before, can you someone explain this to me so I can stop laughing? I mean, kudos to them. I mean, I'm going to praise Cincinnati, and then I'm going to pick them apart, which is insane, it sounds, but here's what I'm going to do. I praise them for giving them an effort. Okay, they want to lock up their franchise quarterback, and if you look at the AFC North, you have Joe Flacco, Super Bowl winning MVP. You have Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, we hate to scare us, but Ben Roethlisberger, 2 championships. He's up there as Pro Bowler. You know, now the Browns, it's hard to say, but they might have their franchise, Johnny Manziel franchise quarterback. It's hard to say, being a rookie. But it is Johnny Manziel. They drafted him for a reason. And they do have Brian Hoyer, who impressed me a little bit. Maybe the Bengals are saying, we're trying to keep up the trend in the division with a quarterback, solidifying that position. With that being said, $115 million. I mean, if Andy Dalton's worth $115, then I should go to my boss tomorrow and ask for a $30 an hour raise. This is ridiculous, dude. What has the guy done? He's got zero... He's got as many playoff wins as Michael Jordan in NFL. Why does Michael Jordan have zero playoff wins? Because he don't play in NFL. Exactly, dude. Andy Dalton, yeah, he's led his team to the playoffs. Whether it's led, I don't know. Just going off of that, yeah, the Bengals have been in the playoffs a little bit, but he hasn't taken them to the next step. You can't go one and done three straight times. I mean, dude, Mark Sanchez has a 5-4 playoff record. He's been in 2 AFC title games as quarterback. And where's he at? Mike Vick's been in an NFC title game. Where's Mike Vick at? And Mike Vick's had 2 $100 million contracts. Like, I don't get this idea. How are you going to pay Andy Dalton $115 million and Joe Flacco gets a $120 million deal and Aaron Rodgers got a $121 million deal? Andy Dalton's not anywhere elite. Joe Flacco became elite. Joe Flacco threw 11 touchdowns and 0 picks in the 2012 playoffs. Joe Flacco's been to the big game. Joe Flacco's been there. He's 9-4 playoff record. Joe Flacco's been in the playoffs 5 of the 6 years he's played in the league. Joe Flacco's first year AFC title game. I mean, I can reel up this. I mean, what's Andy Dalton want? 2 division champs, 2 division titles. What's he got, a better regular season record than Joe Flacco? Yeah, right. Don't get me started, but I could go on a rant, Brandon. I just don't get it at all. I say it's a big waste of money. because you're overpaying for somebody who hasn't earned it. My keyword is earned. What has Andy Dalton earned, done to earn this contract? Joe Flacco earned his. He gambled and won. Again, going back to Joe Flacco's contract, the Ravens were going to offer him a deal, and Joe Flacco said, no, I'm going to play my existing contract and honor it, and then we'll see what happens. What did the dude do? Oh, we just went to go to Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl. No big deal, right? So Joe Flacco got paid for what he did. He earned that paycheck. He actually earned his original contract, outplayed that contract, and earned his paycheck. He earned his dollars. Andy Dalton, they're just shoving money at him because, oh, we need a franchise quarterback. I say that money should have went to A.J. Green or Giovanni Bernard, in my opinion. Those two guys are studs, and it just remains to be seen, and I really think it's going to backfire on them, and they're going to go, oh, wait, because I would love to Andy Dalton to come into Baltimore September 7th and throw three picks and one touchdown and look like an absolute goofball, and then you're going to hear it from the Cincinnati fans. I would love to tune in to Cincinnati Talk Radio come September 8th in the morning and go, what are you guys thinking? What a bunch of idiots. That's what it comes down to. It's a totally, totally stupid, idiotic deal, in my opinion, because Andy Dalton has anything done to earn $150 million, what is it, $48 million guaranteed, really? It's a joke, dude. But on the flip side, I feel good for him. Hey, next, I feel like we can take care of Stanley. Great. Great for him. That's his job. He got paid, but if, like I said, Brandon, me and you should walk in the office and offer raises because we've done the effort, I'm sure. You know, we're hard workers. We put the effort in and day out. You know, this guy, I mean, I'm still baffled, and I'm probably going to still be baffled until, okay, if Andy Dalton takes the Bengals to the playoffs and wins the Super Bowl this year, oh my God, the Bengals look a genius, but that's the only way I think he's worth it is they win the title at all. They win the whole thing this year. That's the only thing and reason why I justify it, bro. That's all I got to say. It's totally outrageous, atrocious, and does not make any sense, and I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm just looking at our team because it just it's getting crazy.
A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Joe was like one of the first quarterbacks to make such a big payday and how it affected his team around him and that kind of stuff. But the big thing with Joe, though, is that Joe, he turned down a contract during the offseason before the Super Bowl and was like, let me prove you about how much I'm actually worth. And he went out there and he got to the playoffs and won the Super Bowl, and then he got a huge payday because of that. I mean, he pretty much proved the owners and everything wrong because the owners are like, we want to pay you this amount, then we want you to do this and do that. And he said, you know what? No, I'm not doing that now. I'm not going to settle for that. And he went out, he got his, he worked hard and he got his payday. So in my eyes, Joe, you know, he kind of deserved what he got because he really, he proved of the kind of quarterback that he can be. To give a guy such a big contract and to not really deliver in the playoffs and not to even make it to the Super Bowl or anything like that, and to get such a giant payday is crazy. I mean, like you said, good for him. If they're willing to pay it, then that's great. But how is this going to affect the rest of his team? Are you going to see guys that maybe in the draft or maybe to come over from different teams or a free agency or something down the road, are they not going to be able to go after people to make the team better because they have so much money invested into their quarterback?
Right. You said it right, man. And I mean, and that's not the Ravens' problem because obviously look what happened this all season. You know, I'm going to really give a backhand slap to all the so-called casual fans who bash this like a deal and then, oh, well, we're not going to be able to sign. Who do we sign this offseason? Terrell Suggs got signed at all extension. Jacoby Jones came back. Yes, he took less money, but he wanted to be home. We signed Steve Smith. I just can go on and on and on about all these deals. We signed Eugene Monroe, and then we signed Dennis Pitta. I mean, it's just, to me, you gotta know what you're talking about. Joe Flacco's deal's fine. He earned it. Could be more happy. We finally got franchise quarterback. And I posted this, I think, a month ago. And you can really get me started. And I even posted a picture of the same thing. I have a Kyle Bowler jersey in my closet. Yes, I do. You know, I'm not ashamed of it. You know, Kyle was cool. But here's the problem I have. Everybody whines and complains about Joe Flacco. Sit down there and pen down all the all the quarterbacks we've had since day one. And then you sit there and tell me which one would you rather have over number five? Which one would you rather lead the playoffs? Which one's worth $120 million? If the guy that can tell me that, I'm going to go buy him a Ruth's Chris dinner, and I'm going to put that out there on the podcast. If you can sit there and make a valid argument, I will take you out for $100 dinner because you're absurd. Joe Flacco is here to stay. He's going to be our franchise quarterback for life. Like Ray Lewis said, he's the new general now. He leads. And I've been hearing in practice, he's been a lot more vocal. He's been vocal to Kubiak. He's just the leader. And you're going to sit there and tell me Joe Flacco ain't worth $120 million. You're an idiot. This is my opinion. I mean, you know, because the guy's earned it. Like you said, we're in agreement. He earned that money. There's a difference. He's not worth that. He earned it. You know, we can sit here and make an argument. Well, how much is Joe Flacco worth? Or how much is, you know, Kobe Bryant worth in the NBA? Or how much is Derek Jeter worth in the major leagues? The guys get paid for what they do. They go on the field and do it. And then when their contract's up, they go, okay, it's time for a new deal. Well, here's what I did. You know, a lot of players now, it's that fine line of what did I do versus what am I worth now. And Brian Doak always said this, Brandon. It's the whole, what have you done for me lately league. And Ray Badger Flacco has done of a heck of a lot of things for this team in the city. And don't tell me that the championships have been defensive, because nowhere other than the four goal line stand in the Super Bowl did I see any defense in our Super Bowl year. It was, hey, diddle, diddle, Ray race up the middle and nice check down play. They got us to win in San Diego. It was a mile high miracle that won it in Denver. He threw the ball. That wasn't a defensive pick six. Defense won it 2000 when we cut down Terry Collins, who threw in the Giants' office, threw five touchdowns in the championship back in 2000. We shut them out and they had five turnovers, and we shut them out offensively. So don't tell me that, oh, this championship run in the last Super Bowl was a defensive struggle. It was a collaborative team effort. The offense got it started, and what happened on fourth and goal? The defense finished it on first down, second down, third down, and fourth down. They denied the Niners the score to get the win, and all we did was tackle and won the free kick at their safety, and we won the Super Bowl. So, with that being said, Brandon, you don't have to take to get me fired up, but I'm telling you, man, it's a lot of passion in there, because I'm almost like, I always feel like I'm the only one to finish your flag. I mean, I met the dude a lot of times. He's really chill. What more could you want? I'm looking right at the photo of him posing, throwing in the Super Bowl, signed by him himself. He penned that signature, Super Bowl MVP, our second one in league history, and our team history. And it's just ridiculous to hear people say, well, Joe Flacco's not worth it. And Andy Dalton is? Okay. You guys just go back to your amateur fantasy leagues and draft players, because, you know, this is the big boys league. I mean, Joe Flacco is the real deal. He's one of the elite. He has a ring. And they tell me that, okay, well, he's one of the few. Well, Dan Marino doesn't. Not saying that Flacco's better than Dan Marino, but he has something that Dan never got, a Super Bowl championship. He's touched glory. And not only that, but he's the MVP proved. So my opinion, Joe Flacco's the champion.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, he's proved himself multiple times, and hopefully this year, this coming year, he'll be able to prove it once again that he is one of the best in the world, that he is elite, that he can lead the Ravens to another Super Bowl, and we'll see how it all starts, and it all starts this week. So I'm very excited to see what Joe and the rest of the team will do this year. So
Me too, man. And it's not only that, Brandon, but it comes down to consistency, and I know that thinking here, Joe Flacco's knock is he's inconsistent in the regular season. Yeah, he might go out and throw three touchdowns one game, and he might likely play the Bills last year and throw four or five picks. It happens. But Peyton Manning himself threw six picks in a game. It happens. I mean, these guys aren't immortal. They're not going to go out and throw four touchdowns every week and look like, you know, rock stars and go, oh my God, this guy's awesome. You know, even Tom Brady, I mean, look, Tom Brady had an NFL record-setting season, lost on Super Bowl to the Giants. They were undefeated. Peyton Manning had a record-setting season last year. They lost the Super Bowl big time against the Seahawks. So you can be flashy all you want, but that's why I'm a big fan of the Seahawks and what they did last year, and I was against the Broncos, because until you can show me how a flashy offense and all these stats add up to a championship, you can come see me in person, bro, because it only translates on the fantasy stat sheet and on the Madden stat sheet in video games, because in real deal, it's about wins and losses. Jim Flacco has a 9-4 playoff record, and I'll say.
That's right, he does. So hopefully we'll see what he does this season. I'm excited to see what the Ravens do. Did we miss anything for this show?
Brandon, I'm going to say not a chance on this one, because we're fired up for Thursday, brother.
That's right. So Thursday night, it's going to be the Ravens and the 49ers. First preseason game of the 2014 season. I know I'm excited. I know Josh, he's always excited. Doesn't matter if it's preseason, regular season, it's Ravens football. That's all he ever wants to talk about. So make sure you do talk to us. Tweet to us. Let us know what you think about the Ravens and this upcoming season. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet me at Italian GQ52.
That's right. Now, of course, everybody out there, listen up. Make sure you go over to BrandoCash.com. You'll get information about the call and all the other shows we do over at Brando Cash Entertainment. Also, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, like Brando Cash Entertainment there, and you'll get information about this show and all the other shows on social media. And go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. That's our own podcasting home on Facebook, and you'll get to check out whenever a new show is updated. Now, make sure you let people know about the show. Be social with it, all right? We do the show completely for free. You guys download it for free. It's free. It's on-demand radio. It's pretty much you guys get to listen whenever you want, whether you're working out or mowing the lawn or driving to work. It's free, and it's Ravens football. I know I love to talk about it, and I know you guys like to listen about it. But be social with the show. Keep the show free. Help us get bigger and better than ever. Let people know you're a Ravens fan, that you listen to the call, and they should too. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web, let people know about the call. So that's pretty much it for the show tonight. I want to send a quick thank you out to Brad Lepore. I want to thank him for the awesome new intro Ravens song that we have here. I asked him if he could put something together. He's a big Ravens fan. I told him, you know, I do a podcast. Let's get together. Let's figure something out. And he was able to work with one of his buddies and create this great song using some of the lines from The Raven, from Edgar Allan Poe, and a great beat. Really got, it keeps you, you know, excited about what's going on in Raven's world. So a big thank you out to Brad for that. But that's pretty much it for the call this week. Josh, get us ready for preseason game one. Take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, Brandon, and thanks to all who made the call possible by listening. And here we are, preseason game one. Brandon, it's been 2 years already going on season three, and I'm as more fired up as ever. I'm excited for the season. Schedule sets up pretty nice, and it all starts, unofficial start, or the official start, Thursday night under the lights at M&T Bank. Ravens 49ers, preseason game one. I am ready to fire up, and I will be there. I know there's a few limited seats left. And if there are left, get your tickets. That's still the bank on Thursday night and support our Birds of Baltimore. Let's go, baby. Preseason game number one. 1, 2, 3, Baltimore Ravens. Fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.